of the cyber attack. I'm Chris Barnes.
Fashion designer Donna Karan backing off her statement praising Harvey Weinstein amid sexual harassment allegations against the former Hollywood movie producer. In a statement released yesterday, Karan said her remarks were taken out of context and don't represent how she feels. The leader in fashion design said sexual harassment is not acceptable and is an issue that must be addressed once and for all, regardless of the individual. On Sunday, Karan suggested to the Daily Mail Weinstein's alleged victims may have been asking for it. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
A California man is being praised for jumping in to help a police officer shot during a shootout with a suspect. Jason Campidonia with the story.
The Lakeside man says he heard some loud noises outside his home the other night, and it ended up being a shootout between cops and a suspect. An officer was hit in the leg, and the man sprang into action, grabbing a belt from his house and using it as a tourniquet. The man says he's got no medical training, but says he knew enough to know that his belt might keep the officer alive. The cop is said to be doing okay, and the man says all he wants in return is to shake the officer's hand for protecting his community.
Officials in the state of Mississippi say all beaches in the state are closed because of Hurricane Nate. Correspondent Randy Bell explains why.
Robbie Wilbur at the Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality says they can't be sure about the bacteria levels in the water.
We're not able to do our regular water sampling analysis until the cleanup is finished and our samplers can get in the water and do their work.
MDEQ says it's up to local officials to decide if people are allowed on the sand, but the water is off limits until the state is sure bacteria is not a problem. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Walmart is projecting a 40% growth in online sales in the U.S. next year. The world's biggest retailer this morning forecast 3% overall net sales growth and 40% growth in online sales during the fiscal year that ends January of 2019. Walmart is holding its investor meeting today when it will announce plans to buy back $20 billion of its shares over 2 years. USA Radio News.
Hey, this is Joe Peters. We're going to get into real estate matters. And before we do, we're going to go through the weather and a few paid commercials, and I'll be right back. Got some very interesting updates from what we talked about last week, and hopefully you'll stay tuned.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Once again, it's Joe Peters. This works a lot better with the mic turned on. We're going to go through the weather forecast from my trusty Android weather forecasting system here. And it looks like it's somewhere between 80 and 81 right now. Sunny, feels like 80. Humidity is 52%. Very low UV, very low wind, 7 miles an hour. And if we take a look at this daily, because it is like the, I'm looking at the date, I think it's the 10th. It is really warm for this time of the year, for the beginning of October. It looks like Tuesday the 10th, we're going to hit a high of 82. Wednesday, touch of rain, we're going to get down to 74. Thursday, it's going to get down to 66. Friday, 67. And you'd think, okay, we're out of it. Nope. Saturday, we're back to 75. And Sunday, back to 80. So it doesn't look like we're out of it yet, but it does look like it cools off after Sunday. So welcome to Hunterdon County's elongated summer. That's going to last out to about the 15th of October. And then we'll get into some seasonal, more seasonable weather. And I only can see out for the next week, but I would think it's overdue. I would think this is what we're in store for. So a few more commercials. I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, once again, this is Joe Peters, and that was my commercial. So if it sounded an awful lot like me, there's very good reason. It was me. And we're going to get into real estate matters, and we're going to start today by talking a little over what we wound up with last week, which was the conclusions of a very good month for this late in the year. And then we're going to go into some interesting facts I heard at a recent conference that I attended, and it'll embellish upon these facts, and as a matter of fact, it'll be, I think, a pretty good news story by the time we're finished. First of all, for the month of October, we're in October, so for the month of September, we sold 150 homes, and the month before, we sold roughly 170. So we dropped a little bit, which is pretty accurate for this time of the season, but 150 homes, and we have 912. You died one into the other, and that means we've got about 6 months' supply. If we didn't add any more listings and just keep selling at the same rate, we'd absorb that inventory in 6 months, and that's 6 months' supply, or that's what we call the absorption rate. We're most active in the under 500, 76% of our sales are down there. We're the first-time buyers, and to a great extent, the second-time buyers, who are the people the first-time buyers buy from. They need to turn around and buy a second home. So first-time buyers, usually 150 to 3. Second-time buyers, somewhere between 250 and 5. That's where most of our activity is. Gives us only 24% up above that, and it really doesn't go too much above it. We sold 17 houses in the 5s. We sold another 12 in the 6s. And then we only sold 2, 4, 6, 7 houses in the 7s and up. So that end of the market is 5% of our sales above 700,000. It becomes a very tight price point. And what we see up there a lot of times is prices coming down from the houses above it that didn't sell the year before and are now getting a little more anxious. They've either gotten transferred or a death in a family or maybe a divorce. And as a result, you may be selling a natural $550,000, and there's a house that was for sale for $7.25, then $675, then $625, it's now $6 or $575, and it's going to sell first because it's a bigger house, and that suppresses the market a little bit in those areas. So let's go through, and I'm going to talk a little about Somerset County, too, because Somerset County, our sister county, has very similar numbers, except that they get about 20% more for their price in Somerset County. So if you were to look at price points over there, you'd find our average price point is somewhere around, just looking for the actual value on it, we're listing about 415, selling about 400. They're listing about 5.25 and selling about 460, 470. Selling more houses, Somerset County is bigger. It's closer to New York. And as a result, it gets a lot more activity than we do here. The other thing we have to look at is where we're selling by city, because you not only need to have what it is by price point within the whole county, but then you have to have the price point within the city that you're in. For example, if we were in Lebanon Borough last month, we had 9 houses for sale, none sold. Wasn't a very good month, but it's probably not a good example because it's a low number. Let's take East Amwell, 31 for sale, and we sold 2. So they have about a 16-month supply. We're in Clinton Township, we had 88 houses for sale, sold 15. We had a 6-month supply. It depends where you're at. And when people ask me, how's the market, what the answer I typically give is it depends where you're located and what your price point is. No matter where you're located, if your price point's under 400, it's a very active market. That's where our first-time buyers are buying. And if they can't find in Bridgewater, they're coming over to Hunterdon. And if they can't find in Clinton, Raritan, Reddington, they're moving over to Alexandria and Fervor. They're moving west till they find what they're looking for. But if you're getting above the 500s, you've got a market that's challenged from a price point, and it depends on your town. If you're in the free hot spots, Reddington, Raritan, and Clinton Township, you're probably doing very well, even if you're up into the 5s. But if you get out to Alexandria and Holland and Bethlehem, it gets very challenging in those higher price points. And as a result, you're probably going to get a little less for your house. You're definitely going to get a little less for your house. Those three hot areas, Clinton, Raritan, and Reddington, and I'm talking Clinton about being Clinton and Clinton Township, had about half of our sales. And once again, we did about $450,000 as an average price and about $400,000 or 12% less for the average sale price. So that's what's happening. Let's talk about why it's happening. First things first, interest rates. We're sitting at about 3.8 on a 30-year mortgage. I think you're going to see that change, but for right now, that's a pretty good rate. That is, back on Election Day, we were about 3.4. We went up all the way to about 4.3, and now we dropped down about a half a point to 3.8. And I believe you'd find that there's reasons it's dropped down, because people don't want to see the housing market stop. So you've got them manipulating the real estate-owned bonds to the extent that it's happening to lower the rate. But I don't think it's going to go on forever. As a matter of fact, there's what's going on is a quantitative easing, QE, where we had purchased over time a lot of real estate bonds in order to keep the rates down. I'm reading, and there was an article on my blog a week ago Monday, how we're now relaxing that, selling off the bonds, and as a result, we're probably going to see a natural one-quarter price increase in interest and probably another half a point over the next year. So we're going to go from 3.8 probably up to close to 5%. And if you just move from 1%, round numbers, from 4 to 5%, you lose 9% of your buying power. So a lot of the interest is interest being low and the fear of it being higher is driving the market today. Secondly, sales. I mean, we're having great sales this year. Last year wasn't so bad, but this year is great. And one of the reasons is we're really short on inventory. And the reason for that is we had a very mild winter, and people kept buying houses for all but two weekends throughout that winter, and we started the spring with a deficit of inventory. We're still running about 11% behind last year, and that hasn't let up. Quite honestly, because this is where the millennials and the first-time buyers are buying, we could sell twice as many houses if we had a sufficient amount of inventory. And as a result, the shortage on inventory is holding us back, but we're still beating last year, and we're still having a very good year until you get to about 500, and then it slackens off, and at about 700, it almost goes to sleep. Almost is the key word there. We're sitting right now with supply of 6,500 less homes than a year ago, or a minus 13%. And there's current 30,000 fewer homes, or 41% less than there was in 2011. That shortage is holding back the growth of retail sales in real estate. Now, what could come along to change it? Well, if we started building some more new homes, which we're not, that could help. But since all we have to sell is our existing pool plus a few new homes that we're building, the other thing is that as people discover how much equity they've got in their house, we're seeing houses start to come on the market. And that could help. And these are people that will either trade up or right size or do a lifestyle adjustment. My business card shows that you're a first-time buyer, a trade-up buyer, a right sizer, or a 55-plus. Right size doesn't mean you're getting a smaller home. You're maybe in the right house, in the right town, but it's got the wrong features. So you either need to reconfigure your house or find one with better features, like first-floor living. Or maybe that living room that nobody sat in for the last 20 years could be a fourth bedroom and take one of the bedrooms and turn it into a hobby room so you don't have to go upstairs as many times. That's right sizing. Next factor we've got is the job front. And I'm going to go into this a little bit deeper, but the nation got back to full employment in 2014. New Jersey probably isn't going to hit that to 2021 at the rate we're going. We're sitting with a 4.4% unemployment rate, where the nation is sitting at a 4.2. So we're a little above the national average. And we're adding jobs. I mean, in 2015, New Jersey added 65,000. In 2017, we're going to add probably 46,000 jobs. So we're still trailing the nation. And here's my summary tab. We're still trailing the nation. We added 65 2 years ago, 59 last year. We're going to add 32,000 this year. And the good news is, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, is that the jobs we're adding are better jobs than we were adding a year ago. So the average capability to buy in New Jersey is at an all-time high. Good news going into next year. Foreclosures. Although they've diminished greatly, we're at half the rate we were 3 or 4 years ago, we're still number one in the nation. We're still going to have this year in foreclosures probably 70,000 filings. That means we're going to see these guys around for another couple of years. They take a few years to sell through. We're coming within sight of the end, but we're not there yet. And foreclosures, to a great extent, are helping to supplement the lack of inventory because people are going out and finding either the short sales, which are the people who are trying to sell it before it gets foreclosed on, or the actual bank-owned, which means the foreclosure is over. It's called bank-owned or REO for real estate-owned. And they've been to some amount fixed up and put back on the market. They put it back on as a retail sale, so it doesn't look like a foreclosure because they know it'll get less money for it if they list it that way. But they're still there. So consumer confidence is at an all-time high. That is probably the best thing we've got going for us. And consumer confidence is an emotion. A lot of it's based on the stock market. A lot of it's based on that, despite the doom and gloom you hear in the news, and, yeah, we've had, you know, that incident in Las Vegas wasn't good news. I don't know how you stop something from that from happening if you have one erratic person. But the national outlook is not any more gloomier than it was on Election Day. Yeah, we got a couple of disputes going on, but I think we'll get through them. At least we're all hoping we'll get through them. And as a result, the emotion of consumer confidence is high. 24% of the homeowners now are millennials. They're between 25 and 35. That number could be 40 if we had enough houses to sell them. Slow, steady growth in prices, 3% last year, almost 5% this year. We're going to see an average of 3 or 4% for the next 4 or 5 years, like somewhere between 17 and 20% over the next 5 years in prices. That's where we'll get back to full where we were before we had the price dips. We saw a surge in home sales last year, but not in prices. We saw some price increases, mostly under the 400 and 500 mark. 2017 prices have risen already somewhere between 3 and 4%. We're probably going to hit 5%, mostly in the under 500K, and a little bit above the 500K if you're not too far west. But you get up above 700, the prices either are not going up or they're actually feeling some pressure. We're also seeing people in their homes for the last 12 years thinking about selling them finally. We used to do this every 7 years, but because 5 years ago, which would have been that natural point, we were still coming out of the recession, people put off and didn't really realize how much equity they had. And now they're in their home 10, 12, 14 years, and their equity is getting increased dramatically because they're paying down the houses at a much quicker rate than they typically do. A lot of that's going into either a change in lifestyle, change, sell this house, buy another, and a lot of it is going into maybe it's time to start that business we've been thinking about. So we've got people out there actually taking a look at using some of the equity in their house to start a business. So that's a recap of what we talked about next week. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play one more commercial, and I'm going to be back, and we're going to talk about what I've learned in the last week, which I think is sort of good news.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
So the very first thing I learned at the real estate seminar I attended last week was that transaction volume is up. It's up for the seventh year in a row. And where we had $22 billion in 2012, we now are looking in 2017 at possibly a $36 billion, which is roughly a 55% increase. 77% of that is in existing homes, single family. 19% of that is in condos or townhouses. And just a smidge, 4%, is up there in age-restricted. Now, this is for New Jersey overall. New Jersey could sell a lot more houses if we had more houses in the popular price pay points to sell. I've said that three times already. But let me emphasize it. We're sitting at about 43,000 homes for sale in New Jersey, and that is down 39% of our peak and 13% from year over year. If I look at all the lines, which are the last 10 years, it's the second lowest and headed to being the lowest. It's crippling us. If we had more houses to sell at the popular price points, we'd be selling more houses. The reason that we're not selling more houses are the reasons I mentioned. No new construction, no affordable housing at the price points, and a lot of people still in disarray financially. It got very hard during the recession to sell a house, and when somebody calls me up and I find out that they bought their house somewhere between 2004 and 2010, I almost have to presume they're still underwater, and most times I'm right. It's going to take a while before we have enough houses to sell back, but we're headed in the right direction. The volume keeps going up and not down. The only thing that I'm seeing in New Jersey, in central New Jersey, is that, say you went to a cocktail party and a group of five couples are talking, and two of them bought a house last year. And the other two or three are saying, wow, it's time for us to be doing that. But this year, the two people aren't saying, I bought a house last year. They're saying, there's no inventory. I've been looking and can't find. And the other two or three say, well, maybe it's not a good time to look. It sort of feeds on itself, is what I'm saying. I don't think that we are in a doom and gloom because the volume of sales keeps going up. I do think that we can be doing much better, and I think it's got to come up from the moderate-priced housing and above. Can't be down at the we have something in New Jersey called Council on Affordable Housing, or COA. It's an acronym for Council on Affordable Housing. Every time you build X number of houses new, you have to build Y number of COA. For example, if you build 100 townhouses, you probably got to put 8 or 10 COA units in there. It's designated by law, and you got to have so many units per town, and it got to be at certain price points, and there's sort of a loss for the builders that have to put it in because they can't get the price back. They're not the same house that they're selling at retail, but because of that restriction, we're not seeing a lot of new construction. Yet, the New Jersey year-to-date home purchase contracts are still expanding. We've got 82,000 coming in this year versus 77,500 last year and 68,200 the year before. We're going in the right direction. My point is we could be going better. But the amount of houses that are selling is being held back by the amount of inventory that we do not have on the market. It's been a long road to recovery. With the exception of 1 month, the last 3 years has all been positive. And sales are growing steadily, consistently, 17% last year, 12% the year before, and 6% year-to-date this year, probably be equal to last year at least. But the undersupply is holding us back. We had 55,000 in 2015. We only had 49,000 last year, and this year we've got 43,000. So it's a self-defeating prophecy in that we don't have enough houses to build. What could we do? A lot of opinion. I think what we could do, and it's not as easy as it sounds, because of the possible probable of land purchase price and taxes, is get developers to build in the above COA but below what we're previously have built at levels. Get the people who are earning moderate income but not depending on state benefits to be able to afford a house in New Jersey. Let me run an example by you. You can only afford to spend 30% of your gross on housing. That's a rental number or a purchase number. If it's rental, it's your rent. If it's purchase, it's your mortgage plus your insurance plus your homeowners, if there's any. That sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not, because if you earn $50,000 and you divide that by 12, and then you multiply that times 0.3, you in effect have about $1,250 a month. And let me just run through that number with you one more time so we all have the same understanding of it. We take, and I've got my calculator out, we take 50,000, we divide it by 12, that gives us 4,100 times 0.3, $1,250 a month. So for every $50,000 you earn, you can afford to spend $1,250 a month on rent or $1,250 a month on a mortgage. Now, I'll tell you right now, in Hunterdon County, you could buy, even if a minimal amount down, a property that you are going to rent, and it's going to be cheaper to own it than to buy it, than to rent it, I should say. It's going to be cheaper to buy it and own it than to rent it. But the problem is a lot of people don't have the funds or the credit or the job to purchase a home yet, so they're looking to rent. And the problem there is we're sitting at a 2% vacancy rating in New Jersey, especially here in central New Jersey, and our more popular price points for a one-bedroom studio or just one-bedroom, one-bath condo-type house are in a $1,350. So you get to earn in excess of $50,000 just to afford our minimal house, apartment, condo, rental, or purchase it here in New Jersey. And then new construction. It hasn't been going up. We did 20,000 in 2015, and we did 9,000 in I'm looking at the breakdown because you got single family and multifamily. Single family in 2015 we had 10,000. 2016 we had 9,000. 2017 is estimated at 9,000. Look at the same numbers. 2015 for multifamily, 20,000 units going up. 17, 16, 14,000. Each time they're more than the single. And in 17 we're estimated to put 15. We're going to put up roughly 70% more multifamilies. And the interesting point is that most of the multifamilies that are going up are apartments that aren't for sale. They're either for sale multifamily condos and townhouses or apartments that are just for rent. I'll give you a good example. If you drive through Clinton down Halstead Street, you'll see right next to the Clinton Library that we have put up, I don't know the total units, but I'd guess they're less than 50, rental-only units. I know one of my neighbors is looking in there, and she's telling me they're renting for in the $2,200 range for the size she's looking at. I'm sure they have even bigger than that. These are not huge units. These are 1,200 square foot units, which is what a two-bedroom condo typically prices out at square foot. And they're going for $2,200 or almost $100,000 worth of earning power in order to go in there. So we have this dichotomy of need at the $1,200 level and availability way above that level, to the point that the people who are in the workforce that are earning in a $40,000 to $50,000 to $60,000 price point in Hunterdon County have a very difficult time affording to be able to live here. As a result, they'll go to the east and they'll find better wages, a little bit more expensive housing, but it balances. Or they'll go to the west and they'll find less wages, but really less expensive housing, and that goes all the way over into Pennsylvania. Home prices are rising. We're looking quarter by quarter. 2016, we had, and these are year to year, year over year, we're looking at quarter two to be 3% over the quarter of the year before. Quarter one was 3.2%. We're probably going to see somewhere between a 4% and a 5% increase. Last year, it wasn't that high, but this year, it looks like it's going to get there. Our home price recovery, the average U.S. is 9% above the pre-recession high. In New Jersey, we're 11% behind it. So at the end of 2005, the very end of 2006, that was the peak. That was the high tide of house pricing. Since 93 to then, all those years, prices went up year after year, month after month. Hit the peak, the end of 05, beginning of 06. And if you look at the nation in general, we're now at 109% of that price point. And if you look at New Jersey, we're at 89% of that price point. Why are we at 89% of that price point? All those things I just mentioned. But mostly because we don't have enough houses to sell, and we don't have the houses to sell for the type of people that we're attracting to our county. Home prices are still recovering. We're thinking somewhere around 2020, 2021, we will get back to where we were, but it's still a long way off. Now, where we were was a fictitious high, but it's a measuring point. Everybody says, oh, my house was once worth 400. Now it's only worth 3.25. Well, it'll be back to 400 by 2021. That's a lot of years from now. If you got things to do, you probably don't want to sit there and wait. You're probably best off selling what you've got at the price you can get, reinvesting it where you want to be, and let that house price go up, not sit here and wait for your old one to go up. It's a self-defeating prophecy to demand that you get what it once was. New Jersey, economic direction. This is some of the good news. New Jersey's economic direction is that we are the sixth largest household income gain in New Jersey, in this country, from 15 to 16. You hear all those ads on the radio and TV about how great New York is and we're rebuilding airports and we're giving away college education. New York is at 3.4%. New Jersey is at 5.4%. I don't know why we're not advertising and bringing people in, but we're better than New York and we're better by the national average of almost a 2-for-1. National is 3.3, we're at 5.4. Pennsylvania is 2.2. We're an average median household dollar in New Jersey. Income is $76,126. That's the median dollar income, not the household. The household's well into six figures. The next thing we look at is unemployment. Hunterdon County, 3.7 unemployment rate when the state's 4.4. Somerset County, 4.0 unemployment. It's usually less than 100. But we're in pretty good shape there. The counties that really suck, pardon the expression, are those far out, Salem, Atlantic, Cumberland, Essex, urban. The ones that are in, and they've broken some of the counties down by urban and non-urban. For instance, Union Urban is at median household income of 59. By the way, I didn't give you the median household income. For 100 is 112, and for Somerset, it is, where did Somerset go? 107. So we are like the 14th and 16th on household, and we're in really great shape in both on unemployment. But we have counties like Cumberland earns an average of $48,000 per household, while the state is earning an average of $76,000 per person. So some of them are really out of whack because there's just no work there. You're either a farmer or you're a and I'm not making fun of farmers. They're our life stay. Without them, we wouldn't be eating. But there's not income-producing jobs in those areas. Seventh straight year of New Jersey job gains. Full recovery in August 2016 for the nation. We're still looking out probably 5 years before that happens. We are at a good position in job creation, a good position in average income, a good position in average household income, a good position in unemployment. We have more jobs than we did a year ago, but we haven't succeeded in surpassing the 2 years before this as far as job creation. We have succeeded in surpassing the average salary per job that's been created, which is good news. So if you look at New York City, they've diminished a little bit. They were way up. They were at 142%. And if you look at some of the Pennsylvania, they're not in such good a shape, but by comparison, we're doing better than both, especially if you look at just this year. Mortgage rates, they're hanging in there. I don't see mortgage rates changing radically in the near future. I see them changing gradually in the near future and probably increasing from the 3.8 ratio. I even saw it 3.7 last week. From here to the high fours between here and a year from now. But that's going to take away 9 to 10% of your buying power. We are, because the affordability is rising, looking at an affordability rate of 139%. In other words, we're making 39% more than it costs to live for an average household income and an average household investment. So we're in good shape there, but the availability for mortgage is there. And let's talk about getting a mortgage for a couple of minutes, because I think most people have a misconception of what you have to go through in order to get a mortgage. So I like to say in order to get a mortgage, you need a couple of things. First thing is you need a job. Second thing is you need some longevity in that job. You need to be there a year or two or have transferred upward in the same kind of work into another company over that same period of time. And then the third thing is the job has to be a meaningful income-producing job. If you're pushing carriages at a grocery store, you're probably not mortgage worthy. But if you're a 2 or 4 year degree and you've been working for 2 to 5 years in a decent size company and you've shown upward progression, you're probably there. So job is number one. Number two is credit. And credit is first, it's really gauged in two different ways. The first is your credit worthiness, which is your FICO score. And your FICO score is just how good is your payment record and how much debt do you have in relationship to your ability to borrow. So let's first talk. If you paid every bill on time and you paid your bills off properly and you usually pay all your accounts off each month, I don't care what the rest of the factors say, you probably got a pretty good FICO score. But then they really look at it from a second and they say, oh, what is your total borrowing power on a FICO score? If you have borrowing power over all of your credit cards, and they break this into three things. You get installment loans, that's like a car. You get property loans, which is like a mortgage, and then you get revolving credit. So if you just took the revolving credit and set it aside and said, what I have on my credit cards open to buy at $50,000, and my average at the end of the month, because some of them aren't paid off every time they take a snapshot at the end of the month, is a $500 balance, and in most cases I pay them off every month, you're in pretty good shape. But if you have a $50,000 credit line on your revolving accounts and you average an average of $30,000 in debt, you're a much higher risk because to some extent you're living off your credit cards. Now, I know some people, and I'm one of them, that is in a profession that every month is not equal. Some months I have a lot of income, and some months I don't have any income. So as a result, one month I might have a higher amount on credit cards, and then next month when income comes in, I pay it off. They sort of measure that out as well. But that's where you get back to this percentage of 30%. They don't want to see you, let me back up a sentence. This is where how much of your borrowing power you're using on a regular basis comes into play. I'm going to get back to the 30%. And then thirdly, once again, I said you needed a job, you needed some credit, you have to be credit worthy, and you also need some money. You can't buy a house without money. You can if you go get a USDA mortgage. In certain towns, in certain areas, in certain income restrictions, you can get a zero down mortgage, but you still have to close. And if you don't have any money, you're going to fold that into your mortgage and pay it off over 30 years. So it's a very expensive way to do it. So what I like to tell people is the minimum down payment is 3%, 3.5% if you're on an FHA. But the more you put down, the better, because it makes that private mortgage insurance go away. So you need a minimum of 3% down, and you need a minimum of 3% to close. So if you're going to buy a $200,000 house, 6%, you need about $12,000 in cash. Or you got to borrow that money and finance it. And they're going to take a look at where the money's coming up at closing. So let's go through the top reasons for mortgage denial in New Jersey. First is poor credit history. In other words, you're missing payments. Yeah, you not only aren't paying the minimum payment each month, some months you're not paying anything. That's poor credit history. Then limited credit history. Some people have good earning power but really haven't established credit, and you need a credit counselor to work with you. Not one of these 1-800 numbers you see on TV. There's bona fide credit counselors, and most frequently your mortgage professional can put you in touch and help build up. Sometimes we got to let people build credit up for 6 to 12 months. Insufficient income. Your purchasing power in relationship to your income is important. Once again, you can only borrow up to 30% of your upfront income, and that's gross. Outstanding debt. Even though you may have $50,000 in your pocket, if your debt is higher than that 30% up front and 43% in the back, I'm going to talk about that in a second, you're not going to get a mortgage. I don't care how much cash you have in your pocket. You're considered high risk. Your employment issues. If you have changed jobs a lot or don't have a good job or career, that's the fifth reason people don't get mortgages. Insufficient assets. You got to have some money. That's an asset. You've got to have some savings. You've got to have some 401k. Not a lot, but you got to have some. And that's what's holding a lot of millennials back. A lot of millennials feel, 89% of them, that I want to buy a house. It's part of my future. But 81 of the 89% of the millennials that believe that doesn't have $5,000 in liquid assets, and it's holding them back. So insufficient assets. Your spouse's credit history. So I see a lot of times that we'll go for a mortgage just on the husband's earning or on a wife's earning and credit and not include the spouse. Unable to verify income. A lot of times that happens in I work for myself. I get paid on 1099s. and then unable to verify my assets. But there is mortgage money available. And let's take a quick look at how that breaks down. There's really three types of mortgages. The first type of mortgage is what we call a conventional. That means I go to a bank. Let's pick a bank, random, Chase. I'm going to go to Chase Bank, and I'm going to borrow money, and I'm going to get a mortgage. Plenty of mortgage money available. But when you do that, Chase is going to say, how much are you going to put down? If you say, well, I don't have any money to put down, they're going to say, well, you probably don't want to be talking to us. You probably want to be talking to an FHA lender. And even an FHA lender is going to want a free 5% down, 3.5% down. Plenty of money available. You've got a little money to put down unless it's USDA. The money available is crucial because there were times when there was no money available, even if you had the good credit. But we're not in one of those times. We have plenty of money available. You need new good credit. You need good access. So what kind of a FICO score do you need? And this is that score on how quickly you pay people back and how much you owe and pay back each month and what the open balances are on your cards. Your average FICO score for the last 12 months is somewhere around 7.25. It's pretty good credit. But if your FICO score is only 650, we can still get you a mortgage as long as you have the other two things, a job and some assets. If you don't have a job, you don't have an asset, and you don't have good credit, you're not going to get a mortgage. Those went away 10 years ago, and we changed all the rules so you can't do that anymore. It was a ridiculous presumption back then. It's what got us into a lot of trouble. But once again, conventional, I go to Chase and I borrow. FHA means I'm going to go borrow through the government-backed securities. And FHA, conventional, I should say, somewhere around a 750 average. All of them are around a 7.25 average. FHA, you can get it with a 683 average. And then a VA, somewhere around a 710 average. All loans, about 724. So your FICO score. Back end, and I told you we're going to talk about front end and back end. Front end means I earn $50,000, I divide that by 12, I multiply that times 30%, and I have $1,250 a month I can spend. If, in effect, I also have a car loan, and I also owe a couple of credit cards and some school debt, well, that all gets added together, and it changes the front end to the back end. So front end is 30%. The back end can't be higher than 43%, in some cases 40%, and that's with all those other things added in. So they look at the front end and they look at the back end, and they'd like you to comply on both. And if you're not complying, you may have to put a little more money down or pay a little more premium up front to get into it. So we've got two of the three things whipped. You've got FICO, but your FICO isn't high enough. You're going to pay a little premium up front to get into a mortgage. It's called insurance. You've got debt-to-income ratio. That's a little higher. As long as it's between no higher total debt to 43%, we probably can get you a mortgage as long as your FICO's okay. And then you need some income. Not some income, but some funds. Mom and Dad can give it to you if you're a first-time buyer. You could use your 401k and borrow against it. You can use your savings. You can't take it off a credit card. They're going to want to see where it came from between the time you applied for a mortgage and the time you close. Mm-hmm. So your income has to be verified and the source has to be verified. So all of that added together gives you a picture of what it takes to get a mortgage. Now, I'm telling you, it sounds complicated, and I've probably been through it a half a dozen times in my lifetime, both with personal homes, investments, trading up, trading down. It's not as complicated as it sounds. You need somebody to help you through it. The first person is your real estate agent. Your real estate agent knows where all the resources are. He can put you in touch with a mortgage professional. He can put you in touch with a credit professional. He can put you in touch with whatever professional it is you need in order to get the process accomplished for you. And That's where I come in. My name is Joe Peters. I work for Coldwell Banker. I live here in Hunterdon County, and I cover all of Hunterdon and Somerset County. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Give me a call. I'd be more than happy to talk to you, and I can help you through this hedgerow without it sounding as complicated as I've tried not to make it sound over the last half hour. There is mortgage money available. Just have a job, have some decent credit, have a little bit of money, and we can put you into a mortgage where you can start gaining equity on your house, and before you know it, you'll have a lot of equity and you'll be buying a bigger house and moving up, trading up, as we call it. My name is Joe Peters. I'm going to play my commercial one more time, and then we're going to go to a news break, and the fellow that follows me will be on with his music show, and we'll pick it up there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We have been going direct on the incident in its entirety since early evening last night, and we are making fantastic progress.
An update from fire officials in Orange County, California, about the wildfire that has burned 14 structures and is threatening hundreds more. The death toll in wildfires across the state of California has been updated to 15. Various fires around the state are still considered 0% contained. Parts of Santa Rosa, California have been completely destroyed by the fast-moving flames. President Trump says the U.S. is on the right path when it comes to North Korea. Trump refuted a claim by Senator Bob Corker that he may be putting the U.S. on a path to World War III about rhetoric in North Korea. During an event at the White House today, Trump said the U.S. is on the right path after having been on the wrong one for years. The president meeting today with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Defense Secretary James Mattis. USA Radio News.
Staples knows that when your printer jams more than it prints, it's time. When your paper supply is in desperate need of resupply, it's time. When the only printer in your office that's not out of ink is three flights up, it's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has great prices on everything you need to print. And now, buy one HP ink, get the second 30% off. Staples. It's pro time. Ends 10/14/17. See store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small, aren't we, boy?
from the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray, rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
Police in Las Vegas are revising the timeline involving the mass shooting.
Police say the suspected gunman opened fire on the Mandalay Bay hotel security guard Jesus Campos before he began firing at the concert crowd.
What we have learned is Mr. Campos was encountered by the suspect prior to his shooting to the outside world.
Clark County, Nevada Sheriff Joe Lombardo previously had said the guard was shot after the gunman fired at the country festival. It's not clear why the timeline changed or if it changes the investigation. The sheriff says the security guard was on that floor to check on an open door when the gunman fired 200 rounds